I would like to dedicate a poem to the true queens of our planet, Queen Tai, my mother, my sister, and all beautiful black women. Beauty as rain, how you flow so effortlessly, unknowing how you saved me. Like that liquid that flows to nourish our souls, that time unveiled for you to see. Yet a distant memory, I still feel it inside of me. It nourished a man to be. I still feel it inside of me. Woman, you are the breath. Aya. I feel you when I breathe. Aya. I see you when I see. Aya. Woman, how you rescued me. This is dedicated to our true queen, my mother, my sister, and all beautiful black women. Welcome to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. I'm coming to you live from Sweden. Today's date is March 31st, 2013. Now, before I begin this broadcast, I want to talk about that poem that I just played. I wrote that about 6 months ago, and it finally found a place, a home where it belongs. Because when we really start to understand what has happened to us on this planet, and the disconnect between those that are in power, we start to realize that they have taken away the mother of our planet and replaced her with a demonic, soulless being. The queens of our planet nourished men, nourished the most powerful people that this world has ever known. Why are they powerful? Because the breath of Aya lives within them. And Aya made this beautiful black woman. That breath that flows in her is the breath that flows in us. And when we realize how powerful we are, we will heal this world. All praise Aya. The breath. Okay, now I want to speak on something before I get into this broadcast, and it is an observation I had. I realized that we are becoming aliens on our own planet. We can see this from the people that live in the so-called third world. They're so poor that when they make it to the westernized nations, the things we take for granted are seen as miracles to them. This is how the elite and the European monarchies control the poor nations of this world. They use the technologies that they take from us to produce miracles that deceive the so-called third world. It's like that verse in Revelations. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire cometh down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This is how the elite class of the European monarchy created the higher and lower classes. They created the Prometheus effect, fire from the gods. The offspring of the elite, the ones that are inheriting our planet, are benefiting from the deceptions of their forefathers. These pathetic sociopaths have never invented a damn thing. They have not contributed to our society. They have never wrote anything that inspires greatness. They have never given praise or thanks to Allah, the creator of all things, the true creator of our planet. They are parasites. These sociopathic parasites are now making the Western nations into the so-called third world. And this is happening right before our eyes. They are creating a lower class citizen. People all over the world are becoming homeless en masse. Homes are being stolen. Jobs are being eliminated. Banks accounts are being seized. And freedom is being stolen. All this is happening right before your eyes. This is how I realized we are purposely becoming aliens on our own planet. These pathetic, spoiled, elite parasites are slowly making us into the third world. Once we become the third world, they will eliminate all the poor nations on this planet. We will witness genocide on a scale unparalleled in human history. This is how they will reduce the population down to 500 million people. These sociopaths plan to wipe out the so-called useless eaters, all of the beautiful people on our planet. The peoples of Asia, Africa, South America, the Middle East, the islands of the Pacific, the islands of the East, the exotic tribes seen and unseen. You can see how they wiped out the Native Americans. This is what they do. They plan to eliminate us because they do not want to share what they did not create. They want to turn us into them. They want to turn us into them. They are the aliens that do not deserve our planet. But I had another observation. Because that observation is quite depressing. They are not in control. You are in control. You are only driving on their road. You are in control of the most amazing, beautiful, and powerful vehicle that was created just for you. And you only. Your vehicle can travel speeds not reached yet. Okay? They have not even been reached yet. And you own that vehicle. But there's one problem. You're driving on their road. You can steer right or left. You can go slow or fast. You can start or stop on their road. And on the road, you will never know how fast your vehicle can go because they placed the speed limits. On their road, your vehicle is traveling where the builders of the road want you to go. Therefore, your control is only an illusion. Whoever built the road built your path. You are living the illusion of control because every path on their road was built before your vehicle traveled on the road. So, why don't you take your amazing, beautiful, powerful vehicle off their road and make your own path, a path that you built because it is yours to build. Now, how do we do such an amazing thing, you may ask? Well, I'm going to borrow a line from the slave drivers. Okay? And this is the only good thing that came out of the slave driving company called Nike. Okay? This is the only good thing they ever produced. How do we do it? How do we take the road? How do we take the vehicle off of the road they built? Simple. Just do it. Just do it. Today's broadcast is called The Sweetest Prison. Now, this was going to be a WhoNet news report, but as I was researching the information, I realized that I could not do this information any justice in just under 30 minutes because the WhoNet reports are for a really small 30-minute reports, okay? So I decided to make this into a broadcast. I asked if you can record this broadcast, do so, because it is very powerful, and they might take it off if it starts to get too popular. And I'm not just saying that, okay? You have been please listen to the whole broadcast, download it, research it, and you will see why I make this statement, okay? This is going to be one of the most important broadcasts I will do. Before I begin, I'm going to read to you a quote from the 1611 King James Bible, the 1611 script, the 1611 script, okay? And it goes, this is from Revelations 18. How much hath glorified herself? I'm sorry. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is Iah, who judges her, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lamentate for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. 1611 script, the 1611 King James Bible. All praise Ayah, all praise Ayah. Ayah, I thank you for this message today. I thank you for this revelation, because as the meaning of revelations is to unveil, to disclose, the disclosing of truth, the disclosing of knowledge. The disclosing of truth and knowledge through your seed, Ayah. I ask that you help me communicate your message to your children, all praise Allah. I ask that you open the hearts, open the minds, calm the spirits, and give us your knowledge, all praise Allah. Help us destroy this system of Babylon and uproot the queen. I ask that you give this message to those that want to hear it. I ask that you bind and bound the demonic, pathetic spirits that wish to delay or hinder this message. I thank you, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, and my friend, for guiding me and keeping me humble and showing me that you are real. Thank you for our past messengers, our ancestors, Tuya, Ta'i, Akhenaten, and Ahi. I ask that you open the eyes of your children for them to see the truth. Aya. Thank you for our past ancestors, the past messengers, Yahshua, Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hussein, and Hussein. I ask that you open the eyes of your children to see all praise, Aya. Thank you, Aya, for showing me the truth. I ask that you be with me today and guide me so I can speak to your children as we honor our ancestors so our days can be long on your beautiful earth. All praise Aya, all praise Aya, all praise Aya. Many of you know that I live in Sweden, and as an immigrant in Sweden, my worldview is different from the average citizen of Sweden. As an African-American immigrant in Sweden, my worldview is different from the non-African-American immigrants in Sweden. It is also very different from those that come from countries like Libya, Congo, Nigeria, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Serbia, or Bosnia, just to name a few, because there are a lot of immigrants that come here. Now, let me explain. When I came to Sweden, my opinion of the country was changed after years of observation. I started to feel firsthand the under-the-radar racism that unfortunately exists in one of the most tolerant countries within the European Union. Although my story is different from the other immigrants that come to Sweden, I am treated the same. I came to this country by choice. Okay? I have lived here for almost 10 years now, so I am able to report a proper assessment about the treatment of immigrants in this country. Now, let me be clear. I do love the Swedish people. They are extremely friendly, open, non-racist, kind-hearted, giving, and very tolerant. I am proud to live in this great country, and I want to keep this country great. This is why I am doing this broadcast. My issue is not with the Swedish citizens. Okay? They have accepted me and my family. Okay, my little boys and myself. So, my issue is not with the Swedish citizens. My issue is with those that are trying to blur the lines of truth. Okay? Now, Sweden accepts many immigrants from areas that have been destroyed and destabilized by NATO-led wars. They accept many Africans that migrate to Sweden due to oppression, suppression, resource theft, genocide, war, and poverty. Most Swedes mistake me for African because African Americans are pretty rare in Sweden. However, there are many African Americans in Sweden. Because in the 1960s and 1970s, Sweden was a safe haven for those of us that escaped the trap of the Vietnam War. Sweden also stood behind many of the people, many of us, in the Black Power movement. Okay? And even to this day, they still support the efforts. However, the recent flow of African, Arab, Eastern European, Asian, and American immigrants are destroying the system of Sweden and causing high unemployment and breeding a new type of Swede. Many of the second generation immigrants are becoming second class citizens. And many non-immigrants, the Swedish people, the non-immigrants, they are turning to nationalist right-wing parties. The immigrants are resentful because they have no employment. And the nationalists are resentful because they are losing their country. So when the two collide, this breeds racism and hatred. I live in an area of Sweden called Rosengård. Here in Rosengård, the unemployment rate is near 70%. Many of the immigrants here take jobs that most Swedes don't take, like, you know, most westernized countries. The average occupation is dishwasher, paperboy, advertisement mail carrier. And if you're not lucky to get these jobs, you end up as a welfare recipient. I live in an apartment building, and it is a student apartment building. And this is a place for highly educated forever students who have been searching for jobs for the past 10 years. And I'm here because I recently separated from my wife. And I would not be doing this report if I did not separate from my wife, which is actually part of Ayah's plan. Many immigrants, even second generation, chase jobs as if they were carrots on a stick. Why? Because getting a well-paid job means better housing and a better standard of living. However, the carrot on the stick is never eaten by the majority of the immigrants. Most of them live in low-income areas where rents are low, security is high, theft is higher, and where drugs are sold. Security guards and police officers roam the streets. Police cars patrol the hoods, and roach exterminators lay roach motels in infested apartment buildings. Now, as an African immigrant, I can see the parallels between the poor blacks and Hispanics in the United States and the immigrant population in the city of Malmo. In addition, like I stated earlier, I see things different being an African American immigrant. Now, compared to the projects where I grew up as a child, the Rosengård projects are paradise. So let's not get it twisted. However, because I grew up in the projects, I can see that Rosengård will become the same way. And this is no accident. And this is why I call this report, or this broadcast/report, the Swedish prison. Okay? Now, points to make why I call it the Swedish prison. When I was growing up, and I was very, very poor, okay? I lived in bad areas, okay? And I lived in the projects and in poor areas. And they might as well have been the projects because they were just as bad, But the difference was, in the project, it's more of a concentrated depression. And many of you can relate to what I'm saying. But this story is going to be heard by those that have not experienced this. But America, you will experience this because you are on the path of destruction because your owners no longer want you anymore. Okay? Just like Sweden, just like Spain, just like Portugal, just like Greece, and on and on and on. Now, like I was saying, I grew up very poor. I would see pimps and prostitutes, drug dealers, you know, all over. I remember one day I was walking in a little corridor, and I noticed that someone was stabbed, and I saw their body, the blood from their body being dragged. And I didn't want to go any further because I didn't want to see the dead body. I don't even remember. I probably did. I blocked it out. Anyway, these are the kind of things that I experienced. Okay? Now, when I was a child, we would form little gangs and roam the streets, causing mischief and violence. And I realized that poverty has a certain smell to it. It has a certain energy. And this smell, this energy is universal. The projects that I grew up in were nothing compared to what they are now. But they were bad. But the projects that I grew up with, they got so bad that they had to demolish them. And this is not a unique thing that's happening. They're actually demolishing a lot of projects. Projects in Chicago, New York City, Pennsylvania, Detroit, you know, just to name a few. These are being demolished all over the United States. Now, likewise, the city that I grew up with is nothing compared, like I said, to the crime that's going on now. So it's like an elevating scale of depression. Now, everyone knows the stories. In many places, you cannot even walk down the street. Now, like in Sweden, the things that are happening in the United States, the things that are happening here, is no accident. When we started to wake up in the United States and come together as a people, okay, now I'm talking about why it wasn't an accident. When we started to wake up in the United States and started to come together as a people, and this is way back during the time of Marcus Garvey in the 20s and 30s, okay, they already started laying the plan. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, the Black Power Movement, all of this was a threat. Okay? They started to make a plan because we started to wake up. They wanted to put us back to sleep. The plan came in the form of the so-called War on Poverty. It was introduced by the United States President Lyndon B. Johnson on January 8th, 1964. This led to agencies like the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and created in 1965. And all of this stems from the New Deal that was signed by Franklin D. Roosevelt. And this is called the Great Society. Now, do research on Franklin D. Roosevelt and also do research on his wife, and realize the connection that they have to the occult. Very important, because it's all part of this plan. Now keep this in mind, because this was an agenda. The Great Society and the War on Poverty allowed agencies to be created that destroyed our unity, self-pride, independence, and caused racism and division and discrimination that last until this day in the United States. All of those things that are going on about the whole poverty and the dividing of the lines and the racism, it split us up as a people when we could have came together. Because the thing that Martin Luther King was doing is he's trying to bring all people together. And if he was doing this in the 60s, imagine that effort if it would have been able to grow into flourishing now. Okay? Now, these programs are called the socialist programs. These socialist programs are the same things that are being set up here in Sweden for the immigrants. And likewise, it is destroying the immigrants' self-pride, independence, and causing racism, division, and discrimination. In the United States, the civil rights movement was used and manipulated to allow the very powerful elite class to forever control the fate of every poor black and Hispanic that dreamed of rising out of poverty. Now, here's a quote to back up a little bit what I'm saying. And this is called Great Society, War on Poverty, The Reader's Companion to United States Woman's History. And it reads, many observers point out that the war on poverty's attention to black America created the grounds for the backlash that began in the 1970s. The perception by the white middle class that it was footing the bill for ever increasing services to the poor led to diminished support for welfare state programs, especially those that targeted specific groups and neighborhoods. Many whites viewed Great Society programs as supporting the economic and social needs of low-income urban minorities. They lost sympathy, especially as the economy declined during the 1970s. This is when they had the oil embargo and they had cars going around the block, and they were like, why are we spending this money on these? You know the story. So now the question was all this backlash and negativity a plan? Was it a plan to drive a wedge between the American people? Now, for those of you that may not agree, I ask you to do your research. Observe the fruits of the war on poverty, just like the fruits of the war on terror. Are there less terrorists or more terrorists? War on poverty. Is there less poverty or more poverty? Okay? Observe the racists that use this agency destroy the communities of a once proud people and turn them, us, into a haven of abortion clinics, crack dealers, prostitutes, and pimps, uneducated, fatherless children, crack heads, alcoholics, AIDS victims, and desperate people. I say this not as an observer, but as a survivor. And if it was not for Ayah, I probably would have been aborted, or a crackhead, or a pimp. I could have even been a prostitute. Okay, any of these above, if it wasn't for Ayah. Therefore, I can see Rosengard from the perspective as, the perspective of one that slipped through the cracks. I am one that escaped the elaborate trap that was laid for the African Americans in the United States. I can see the same trap being laid for the immigrants in Rosengard. However, I did not call this the Rosengård prison. I called this the Swedish prison. And why do I call it the Swedish prison? Because those that created the Great Society and the War on Poverty program in the United States have expanded their program worldwide. The African Americans in the United States are the testing ground for the world. Okay? The sweetest prison is just one more part of the prison planet. Okay, now I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to play you something, and I will be right back.
One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A congressional committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations. DuPont and Goodyear Tire.
Okay, welcome back. I wanted to play that audio file of General Smedley Butler to show you that this is a long, long plan that has been going on for a long time. And on further research, if you do, I think his name is Anthony Sutton, the American Secret Establishment, and also Wall Street, the Hitler's connection to Wall Street, you should read both of these books, and you'll find out that the same group that were taking over the United States in the fascist dictatorship are the same group that supported Hitler. Those same groups were the diversified investments of the European elite monarchies. Okay, now let's add that monarchies in there. And this is what this broadcast is about. It's about showing you the connections between the monarchies and how they still control this planet. Now, this is the first part of the broadcast. I'm going to go over a couple more things, but you really want to hear the second part, okay? Because it's why I'm doing this broadcast. This is to set it up, but you have to understand, I have to set up why I'm doing this, okay? Like I said, please record it, please download it, and please research it. And then once you understand, you have to act on this information. Act on this information. If you do not act on this information, you will be enslaved and they will win. And we do not want them to set up what they want to set up. If they do, we are all finished. Okay? Now, first, let me explain why I was inspired to do this broadcast and hopefully relay to you the urgency in understanding this information, the urgency in understanding this information, and like I said, motivate you to act on this information. Last week, I took a short walk around my neighborhood. I decided to walk in a direction I normally do not walk. And right away, I felt in my spirit that something was not right. I observed how the way the apartment projects were planned. I saw how the bike storage units, you know, this is as I'm walking through one of these apartment complexes. They have these huge apartment complexes. It looks like projects all around, you know. It's like the projects were probably supposed to be set up as, homes for the poor, but it was supposed to be taken care of nicely. And I think somehow those were turned into what they are today because they work here in Sweden. Okay? They, outside of Rosengård, you don't have roach motels. Okay? But departments are still set up like projects, but they are well cared for. They have a union, they have management, they have gardeners, they have people that are planning it. But here in Rosengård, you don't have that kind of thing. You just have poor people thrown in an apartment. There you have the project effect. But it's not as bad as the United States yet. So let me continue. I was walking through one of these. Okay? And like I said, I saw the they had like the bike storage units. And these bike storage units, for some reason, they reminded me of like security posts, like guard posts. And then immediately, a prison came to my mind. Okay? I looked to the right, and then I seen like barbed wire on the fence. You know, and then there's this one area where I noticed that this is huge flexible fence. It's like 15 or 20 feet tall, and it was like a steel gate, right? And then in the distance beyond the steel gate, I noticed the fence afar. This also had this barbed wire on top of it. Okay. Then I thought to myself, why do they have this here? And it annoyed me because I was trying to just walk through the apartment complex just to walk to the other side. But now I can't get out. You know, I'm looking at all this barbed wire and steel up around the place, and I'm thinking, okay, what's this all about? Then it came to my mind, I'm like, wait a minute. I noticed that they had like little balls and a little one of those little jungle gyms where the kids can swing on it. And I said to myself, okay, you have barbed wire here. What if one of these kids are like playing soccer or they're playing, throwing a ball or a frisbee, and they throw the frisbee over the fence? Most kids would climb the fence on the other side and get the frisbee, right? But here, they would get stuck by the barbed wire. So they have to go all the way around the fence to get their ball. What kid would want to live in this environment? So that really annoyed me. Now, I'm trying to find a way out because I'm walking through here, right? And as I search for a way out, I notice the exit. Now, this is really, really something you should hear, because when I was going towards the exit, let me describe it. It was like a steel gate, and this gate looked like the entrance to a prison. And to the right of the gate, you have like, it's a wooden fence. On top of that wooden fence, you have double barbed wire. Okay? And then, as you're looking down the fence, there's like this small, thin structure. And the thin structure looks like a place where you can put a surveillance camera. Now, having surveillance in Sweden is illegal. And you have to go through a lot of red tape in order to get surveillance cameras in your area, and set up. Now, I live in an apartment building. It's a student house, and half of the apartment buildings were given to divorced men and people that couldn't afford the rents in any other place but here. And when they did that, half of them were students, half of them were for the down and out. These apartment buildings became really bad. I mean, it's like you go downstairs and the locks are broken off and people are breaking into storage units. And just last week, I went into to do some laundry, and someone kicked in the door, broke the lock, took the microwaves off the damn wall, broke the foosball table. I mean, it's like just destruction. And a week before that, someone smashed the vending machine to cake the change and took all of the food out of there. So it's like, you know, and I went to the guy, I said, why don't you put up some surveillance cameras as you have the security here, then you won't have all this. And he tells me, he says, it is illegal to do that in Sweden. You have to go through a lot of red tape because we want to make sure we protect the rights of the citizens. Basically, he didn't say that, but that's what they want me to believe. Here's the problem. If you cannot respect a little child that just might kick a ball over the fence, okay, and you have barbed wire around the whole area in which he's playing, tells me that you don't give a damn about the people. So what is this crap about this red tape with the surveillance if you didn't even think about protecting that child? Okay? Now, let me prove my point when I make that statement. Okay? The front gate was unlocked. And the front gate is always unlocked. This is the apartment complex. Why is the front gate locked? Because people do not want to go through the hassle on unlocking the gate all the time. So now you have just defeated the purpose of the barbed wire. You've just defeated the purpose. Because why would you make a lock and put a code on it, but yet leave the door unlocked? The thief can just walk right in, right? So what's the point? Okay? Now, after that, I thought this was silly. It obviously defeated the purpose. Why do we have all these steel gates and the barbed wire? Then my curiosity started to spark. I walked around the parameters of the apartment projects. I wanted to see, you know, how good the security was. And then, as I walked, I noticed that the gate stopped, and then, boom, completely open. Completely open. So now you have the front entrance completely open, and then the gate on the side, which is completely open. But then you have barbed wire and steel all over the perimeter of the apartment complex. So it is an unnecessity. It is a waste of money. So the question is, why? Okay? Why? Now, the question why was answered, because now I'm in this mode on looking at this security apparatus being set up. I look and I notice that 5-minute walks down the street, they built this new police station. And I thought to myself when I was told about this, oh, that's nice, they're going to have police in the area to make sure that the people are going to be well protected. But the police station has no police cars there. The police station has a gate where there's a security entrance in, and in the back you have like these station wagons. Huge metal gate, barbed wire on the top. And like I said, I'm making a video of this so you can see everything that I'm talking about and you can make your own judgment. The security on the top, barbed wire on the top, and, you know, on the gate they say, no pictures allowed. The police station has these high buildings, high windows, and, you know, it's kind of like really dark inside. And this does not look like a police station. It looks like a Central Intelligence Agency's command center. No joke. That's what came to my mind. I'm like, wait a minute. People got these IDs going in. This looks like a future FEMA camp holding center that are going to be used to police the areas in Malmo. Well, you know, you got to think, what's going on in the world? Financial systems are collapsing, right? So it's not like a far stretch. You see what I'm saying? So, now, in my spirit, I knew something was wrong. So the next day I walked around to see if I could notice anything else strange. Okay. Then I came across a construction site. This site had the same thing, the barbed wire, the steel gates, the whole apparatus, right? But I did notice something that stood out to me. At this site, they had all these different cars, okay? And the cars on the side, the different cars, the different vehicles, they had this company logo on the side. And it said Sodexo. S-O-D-E-X-O. Sodexo. Okay? I had no clue what Sodexo was. But I said, let me see if I can make some kind of connection, because these cars would not be here if they aren't if they were not related to all this barbed wire and stuff, right? Something is not right here. So I did some research, and guess what I found? Okay? Now, first, all I found was positive ads. I seen happy, smiling people because they got YouTube videos. You can pull them up. Sodexo, S-O-D-E-X-O, S-O-D-E-X-O. I pulled it up. And you have like this one picture, this brother holding this little baby, you know, little white baby, and he's holding her and he's smiling. And then you have people talking about, I'm gay and I love working at Sodexo. And I'm black and I work at Sodexo. For real, they actually purposely show you that they have to prove to you that they are a diversified company. They have a company of diversity. And I knew they were trying hard. How did I know this? Because the Obama campaign did the same damn thing. When Obama ran for office, it was the same thing. We were all inspired and thinking Obama was this great man, and he was going to come in here and he was for the people and the Blueprint for Change. I even downloaded the Blueprint for Change. But then we find out that Obama works for the same Bilderberger group that are setting up the police state that we see today. So I knew that Sodexo had something to hide. Sodexo even is even a joint operations with Magic Johnson Enterprises. It's called Sodexo Magic. Okay? They work for the United States government. They have contracts with the United States government. They feed old folks in the old folks home with food, and they're in the schools. It's a huge company. Huge. Worth billions. Multiple billions of dollars. So what about them? Now, as I started to dig deeper, I found that Sodexo is a company like Coca-Cola, Bechtel, Nike, DynCorp, Lockheed Martin, Halliburton, and Monsanto. Just to name a few of these globalist-controlled stock companies owned by the elite. These companies are slave labor, okay, and they operate above the law. DynCorp is working in the white slave trade business, meaning they're working in enslaving women for sex trafficking. They got caught. Cynthia McKinney talked about this, and she was like, Rumsfeld, what about the sex slave? You know, she was going off. As you can see, she was kicked out of Congress for her calling them out. Halliburton taking the contracts in Iraq. Sodexo is with this crew. And if you research, you realize that the 1%, the 2%, the 1% that own everything on this planet are diversified in companies like Coca-Cola, Bechtel, Nike, DynCorp, Lockheed Martin, Halliburton, Monsanto, and Sodexo. So we have a problem. Let me just read a few things that are in Sodexo's history. In 2003, Sodexo was sued for a E. coli outbreak in an old folks home that killed people. January 2012, Sadako was blamed for poisoning over 11,000 children. Okay, 11,000 children. They poisoned them with their food. It was a poison food outbreak in Germany. No trouble for them. They still operate. And most recently, last year, how about the horse meat incident? They found the DNA of horse meat in food that sold to the it was the United Kingdom's military. It was sold to schools. It was sold to old folks' homes. It was sold to prisons. Horse meat. It was all over the news. But did Sadako get in trouble? No. Okay. Now, let's show you that this Sadako that I found here in my neighborhood, okay, with the barbed wire and all that, this globalist-ass company is in my backyard. Let's read something from somebody that I love, a man by the name of Danny Glover. Now, Danny Glover, he is the board of director of the Trans-African Forum. All right, and this is something that he wrote. He says, Trans-African Forum, Sadako Report, is the result of months of in-country interviews with Sadako workers, union leaders, environmental, and community activists. It tells the story of workers who are trapped in poverty by a powerful global company, and then, in this case, harassed, threatened, and fired when they speak up for their rights. Go ahead, Danny Glover. Workers in five countries told Trans-African Research chilling stories. In one country, a forced pregnancy test everywhere spoke of food poisoning due to being forced to eat rancid food. In yet another country, workers talked about preventable injuries caused by inadequate training and lack of proper protective gear. Rightfully, many of the Sadako workers refused to be silenced. So they're trying to silence these people, y'all. Like always, like all corporations, like Bechtel, like DynCorp, like Nike, like Apple, like Microsoft, like all of the companies that are owned by these 1% filthy ass sociopaths. The workers who spoke to us did so under what they believe was the threat of dismissal. Okay, now if you work in a country, let's say they're in Uganda, okay. Here's one of the companies. They're in Turkey, right? Peru. Let's say they're in Peru, and you speak out against them. You ain't got no other job but Sodeto. That's it. That's the only job you got because they just shut down everything else. Now they're paying you like $1 a day, and that $1 a day, 70% of it has to go for living expenses that they are getting. So basically, they got you as a slave. So if you start to speak out against it, that dollar a day is taken away. And then you will starve to death and your family. So this is, you have to realize that for them to even speak to Danny Glover about this, it is life and death. All right? They are desperate. All right? I just want to tell you. And it says, Sadako workers in Colombia, in the Dominican Republic, France, and the United States, and union leaders in the United Kingdom, Turkey, Morocco, and Peru are standing up and demanding Sadako respect workers' basic human rights and the right to earn a fair wage for a day's work. So now, the laws in the United States and the UK, of course, are different from Peru and Morocco. But yet even they in these powerful nations are being disrespected by this company, but yet this company is above the law. It says, I have spent my life helping, this is Danny Love, he says, I have spent my life helping to give a voice to the voiceless in the United States, South Africa, Mexico, and around the world. I am proud to raise my voice for Sadako workers everywhere who are speaking out and organizing for a better life for themselves and their co-workers. Over the next few months, we will follow up on the story in this report and expand our investigation into more countries. It is our hope to shine a spotlight on the working and living conditions in Sadako, workers around the world, and help those workers access their basic rights to improve their lives and their communities. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to back off the mic. I get upset, so I don't want to, I don't want to blow your ears out in case it's too loud. Okay, basically, so you can see that Sodeco is a globalist company, all right? But there's more, okay? Because I was just wondering, okay, what are they doing here? Because all they do is they're, like, feeding people. They're, it's a hospitality company, you know? So do they plan to break Sweden to the point where they have to use Sodeco and then this is the only company that they have? Maybe that's the plan, right? But I found something that's quite interesting. I think it actually gets worse than that, okay? Now, I'm going to play an audio file. This is an audio file that's going to explain a company by the name of Serco. It's spelled S-E-R-C-O, Serco. And an interesting thing to know about Serco, Serco was actually, I know if you heard of RCA, the recording company, right? RCA is created another division, and this division was to handle, you know, different functions in the company of RCA. And this division of RCA became Serco. Now, when you find out what Serco does, you're going to say, how in the hell did this small-ass division of RCA become this dominant company that I have never, ever, ever heard of? Because it's a plan, okay? Now, if you look at RCA, RCA was started during the time of World War I. And this is when the globalist, the elite class, all of the, you know, the true controllers of this planet were taking over the radio waves because they wanted to make sure that, you know, things like this don't get out, like speaking. Because the radio was like this new way, form of communicating, and it's a threat when people can actually communicate. So, if when you look at it, it was RCA, General Electric, all of these huge companies, the same companies that actually worked, that were supporting the Nazis, were trying to, basically were controlling the radio. But then when shortwave came out, they lost that monopoly, and then it kind of broke apart. But this company still is powerful. They turned to record companies, and now, you know, now we see what the power of the record companies are. What do? They have, like, the Beyoncés and the Jay-Zs and the Lady Gagas and the Kanyes and all these Illuminati crazy orgy crap that we have to look at and can't be entertained anymore because we got to be bombarded about all this buffoonery, okay, this silly mess, this silly, stupid, let me go because I don't want to take too much time. Okay, let me play this file, okay, and I'll be right back.
This is the Serco Group. They run all 7 immigration detention centres in Australia, but they do lots more. In fact, they're probably the biggest company you've never heard of. Governments all around the world outsource to Serco. They run half of London's traffic lights, all of Dublin's, and in Ontario, Canada, they test you for your driver's license. Serco are also the largest air traffic controllers in the world. They've got 54 towers in the US, and they control Baghdad's air traffic. They even maintain the RAF squadron the Queen flies on. All over the planet, Serco are moving people, from metros in Dubai to buses in Adelaide. And they're good at stopping people from moving too. Serco will soon be the largest operator of private prisons in the UK, and they're very efficient at it. In one prison, they increase capacity by 20%, simply by putting beds in the toilets. In another Serco prison, a 14-year-old hanged himself after being assaulted by Serco guards, the UK's youngest ever death in custody. But don't think Serco aren't good with kids. In Bradford, they run all the state schools in the district. Serco is the model of a modern multinational, and that's why they're the right company to keep us safe. They've been running the UK's ballistic missile defence system ever since it was outsourced 40 years ago. In fact, they look after Britain's entire nuclear arsenal, from creation to decommissioning. But wait, there's more. Serco are so good at running things, they even run time itself. That's right, Serco have the contracts for setting Greenwich Mean Time. And Serco just keep getting bigger. Since 1994, they've grown by 1,200%. How have they been so successful? CEO Chris Hyman puts his success with Serco down to listening to God. Now, you might think things like nuclear arsenals and border protection are best handled by the government, but that's not a problem for Serco because about 85% of their workforce are ex-public servants, so they have all the training and connections necessary to handle big government contracts. In Australia, Serco have a presence on every military base, run every immigration detention centre, two prisons, cross-country trains like the Indian Pacific and the GAD, and they're bidding on more contracts right now, including one to run prisons across New South Wales. So, even if you don't know their name, chances are you're caught in their web. Serco, bringing service to life.
Okay, welcome back. Now, Serco, okay? Now, RCA stands for Radio, I think it's Radio Corporation of America, okay? Now, Radio Corporation of America, all right? Now, let me read something to you, okay? Let me find it. It says, Serco began in 1929 when the Radio Corporation of America formed a UK subsidiary, RCA Service Limited, to support the country's growing cinema industry in the early 1960s. The company won a piece of work that was to shape the future direction, a maintenance contract for the United States Ballistic Military Early Warning System at the Royal Air Force. Okay, now I'm not going to read the whole thing. I wanted to read that part. Because, let's think about this. Radio Communication, right, of America, RCA, that America's in there. They were a record company that merged with Sony Music and, you know, they're all working together. So this is music. They went to the UK for cinema, right? Cinema. How in the hell did they jump from doing radio cinema to ballistic missiles? And now they run the nuclear arms force and detention centers and prisons, and they are one of the largest companies you never heard of. Run under the British Queen. Oh, yeah. Something does not smell right. Now, what does this have to do with Sudeco? What does it have to do with Sudeco? Well, and it reads, Sudeco, Serco, let me read that right. Serco, Sudeco Defense Services, SSDS, is Australia's only specialist service provider to the Australian Defense Force. Since 1993, we have supported defense throughout Australia, offering tailored, innovative on-site solutions from security to facilities, maintenancing, catering, and clothing, store management. We combine a big picture understanding of national needs with an intimate understanding of local conditions. Now, you heard that Circle is setting up detention centers, and it was so bad that one kid, 14 years old, hung himself in the UK. They have all these reports. I have a lot of other stuff on here, but I don't have time to go through the crimes that Circle has committed. So now we have two criminals. We have Circle and we have Sudeco getting together now to manage detention centers in Australia. And if you do not think that they are going to get together and manage detention centers in the United States, in Sweden, that's probably why they're here, in Africa, South America, you have another thing coming. Why? Because it's called diversification. Hey, they already joined in Australia. Why don't we just expand all over the world? Why don't we just run the prison and detention centers together? They control the time. They control the nuclear arsenal. This company is dangerous. And they are here in Sweden, right in my backyard. Okay? Now, like I said, right now, these combined companies, they are within the United States military, they're within the Australian military, they're in the United Kingdom military. So all they need to do is flip a switch, and boom, the prison planet is set up. All right? Now, I mention this, okay, to bring to your attention what is happening all over the planet. Now, whether the strange barbed wire and the human rights violating globalist controlled companies and the suspicious secret police stations are here to set up a police state is true or not, okay, we still have to be aware of what is happening. What is occurring here in Sweden, is real, and it is occurring all over the world. The police state is already being set up in the United States. And the beginning of this happened after September 11th, 2001, when the proven rogue CIA-created terrorist group attacked the World Trade Center. This event got the ball rolling for the globalizing of the police state, and this police state is being set up right before our eyes. And the Swedish prison will be just one more mission accomplished if we do not wake up and if we do not expose what is happening. And that is what I am doing today. I am exposing what is happening. And I hope that you take this, download it, research it, speak about it. Maybe then we can stop it. But it goes a lot deeper than this. A lot deeper than this. Okay? Now, this is why I'm doing this broadcast. So, this is what you came here for. Alright? I went through all that to come to this point. This broadcast is probably going to go a little over 2 hours. So, you know, just know that it's going to be a little bit long. Hopefully, I can do it under two. But I'm already a little bit over an hour. But, you know, it's well worth it. Please, 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 please download. Please listen to the whole thing. Please research what I say, because this right here is it, okay? This is it. You want to know what's going on? This is it. You want to know who's behind it? This is it. You want to know what to do about it? This is it. You want to know what's going to happen in the future? This is it. You can either ignore it or listen to it. But this is happening, okay? Now, like I said, here's why I'm doing this broadcast. If you recall, I gave a message called the Apocalypse 2012, March 11, 2013, in January. I think I did it on January 14th, before I came back to Sweden. I was in the United States for a few months, and while I was there, I did this broadcast, okay? I explained that the world, that this word, apocalypse, okay? The word apocalypse, it means to unveil. It means to unveil what has been hidden. Likewise, revelation means to reveal what has been concealed. Therefore, the end times is when all things that have been hidden from man comes to light. This is what the candles represent. You know when they talk about in the New Testament about the candles? It's bringing the light. Like I mentioned in the Mark of the Beast script. Okay, remember, count the number of the beast that I put on there. Everything that you're seeing is, things go in cycles. The demonic energy, that force that is unseen, will be seen. The unveiling, okay? The book that I speak about, the book that's called The Dying God, speaks about how in his story, in history, his story, gods like Cronus, Zeus, Athena, Bel, Prometheus, Mithra, Thoth, Idris, and Hermes, just to name a few, you know, how these gods, how they would die, right? They died because man would become knowledgeable of their deception. Okay, why? Because behind every idol is a lying demon. This happened when Plato came out of the cave and saw the light of the sun. You remember that allegory of the cave? What does it say? Plato came out of the cave. He saw the light of the sun. He realized that the shadows are nothing but the objects blocked out. Okay? The objects were nothing but the objects blocking out the true knowledge, which is what is real, the rays of the sun. Okay? The light. So, the light of the sun that shines through the cave, when the little figurines are playing on the wall, there are just the light of the sun that's being blocked. All right? I mean, this is deep. If you listen to that, the allegory of the cave. Now, the sun is the light, right? And when man begins to wake up to the truth and the deceptions that these little gods are telling us, the fake gods, the god starts to die. All right? So when Plato came out of the cave and he saw the sun, and he was like, this is the source of the shadows. And then he went back in and said, hey, come on out. Check it out. This is what we should really be. This is God. This is it. These caves are fake. These people, they're fake. So what happens? They fight him. And they protect that god. And they kill Plato. Well, they will kill him if he tries to take away that false reality. Okay? Now, this is exactly what's happening today. I'm trying to tell you that the religions that we have been told are a lie because they are controlled by the dying God. But we have to look at that word religion and realize that it means bondage. They have hijacked your spirituality and turned it into a religion. They have hijacked your spirituality and turned it into a religion. They have hijacked your spirituality and turned it into a religion. And now that religion is dying. It's dying. Okay? So, when man begins to wake up to the true deception about these dying gods, something has to happen. Now, in this Mark of the Beast document that I have linked on HebrewsWakeUp.com, I show within this document that there is a 25,920-year cycle that they follow. Oh, we're going to find out who they are. When I say they, you're going to know exactly who they are in this broadcast, okay? But it's a 25,920-year cycle that they follow. Who are they? They are the elite class that worship the god of the occult. And this is the source of their power. Their power is time. Time represents their god. They divided time, which is 25,920 years, into 12 sections. Each section is 2,160 years. In one section, which is 2,160 years, that represents a zodiac sign. The zodiac sign represents the demonic energy, demonic force that is in control of that time. Principalities in high places. Okay? Now, a principality is somebody that controls a certain area. These demonic 72, which I call them, each of those different demons has a name. They share power by sharing time, by dividing time into 12 chunks of time. So 25,120 years divided by 12 is 2,160. And like I said, when you add all those numbers to the lowest numeral, you get the number 9. And this is why the number 9 is important. And this is why number 9 is the number of a man, because the number of a man, 9, is how man counts time. But we can't go beyond. Like, man rarely goes beyond 100 years because he dies. Man starts to lose his mind after 72 years. So it's easy for them to control us because they control time, meaning that they are beyond the control of time, but yet they do have limited time, which is strange because they have to go by a structure of time. And this is why there's the dying god. Hopefully, as this broadcast goes on, I can explain that to you, and you can actually see what I have been trying to tell you, okay? When I did the, did anybody look at March 13th, okay? 5 months ago, I told you that March 13th, there was going to be an event because I knew that it's following their time schedule, right? Now, the Pope was elected on, was it March 13th? Yeah, the Pope was elected on March 13th, was he not? All right, go back and listen to those broadcasts and start to realize that the Pythagoras system that I'm telling you about the 10, the 11, and the gate, this is what they're following. I know what they're doing. Please listen to me. Okay? Take action. Now, these the 2,160 years, you can divide that into 3. Which is 720 years. All right? What does this have to do with the dying god? Well, every 720 years, they start to lose power. Why? Because it's changing of the garb. You have a dividing of time, a dividing of time, a dividing of time, a dividing of time. And demons basically like, I'm over the month of April. I'm over the month of May. I'm over the month of June. I'm over the week of this. I'm over the day of this. I'm over the hour of this. I'm over the second. You know what I'm saying? That in order for the system to exist without them killing themselves, they have to create a rule and a law of sharing. And their nature is greed. So they have to work together somehow. So therefore, they can't break their own law. And those laws are in how they share time and divide time. So if it's like April or May, certain demons are in control of that time. And this is why different cultures, you know, pray to different spirits, because those spirits are in control of those areas. Very important for you to understand this, because it is has everything to do with Mark of the Beast. Okay? So, every 7 to 20 years, they start to lose power, so they need to create a new god, dying god. All right? They have no more power. So they usurped. So when so here's what happened with the Hebrews. When they started to run out of that power, what did they do? They usurped the spirituality of the Hebrews. They usurped the spirituality of the planet by suppressing those that have the spirit of Ayah. Ayah is not a god. Ayah is all, the creator of all, even those gods. He even created those gods because he created all things. Okay? They know this. The people that Ayah created represent him on this planet. Now, how do you represent Ayah? What do you do? You see what I'm saying? Because we can't make any images of him. You have to speak about him. So the earth represents Ayah. That's why the spirituality of the Native Americans was beautiful, and they had to destroy it. And this is why the Native Americans and the Hebrews got together, and they got along very well. They were a very spiritual people. That's why a lot of African Americans and Native Americans have the same blood. If you look around, you notice that a lot of them, the Blackfeet. You have, I can't name all the tribe, but you know, that's why the Hebrew scriptures were found on the rocks in the Native American areas. Because these people had a connection with the Creator. They believed, they understood about the earth and the importance, and had utmost respect. The same way that Akhenaten was trying to show the Egyptians. Okay? Ayah, he is like unto the sun, but he is not the sun. But if we need something to represent Ayah, it would be the sun. We cannot make an image of an idol, of Ayah, because he is the spirit that lives inside of all of those that know and believe. Ayah is life. All praise Ayah. Okay? Now, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, and Allah are names that were created by the religious system. And this is how they keep their power. They hide behind Yahweh, Jesus Christ, and Allah. Those that are hiding are the most powerful on this planet. The priests of the Catholic Church, the rabbis that worship Yahweh, and the imams that worship Allah. Okay? Ayah does not need to be represented by a priest, a rabbi, or an imam. Ayah lives inside of you. You are the house of Ayah because he lives within your spirit. The three major religions are controlled by the powerful elite. The rabbi is controlled by Judaism. And we know that the line of the Ashkenazi Jews, the Germanic Jews, this is more German people, okay, which is the same thing, control the rabbis. They're called Zionists. Okay? The Imams control Islam. Okay? Now, they live within the line of Abu Bakr. Understand the story. Go back, listen to my broadcast in October, and learn about the Abu Bakr line, the Fatima line. Abu Bakr murdered Fatima. So how can this represent Fatima? But if you know history, you understand that in the year 1280 AD, the Ottoman Empire took over Islam. They are Turkish. They're not even of the same race. They are Mongolians. But yet, we don't know this. The priests and the popes control Christianity. Now, this was first taken over by Constantine in 324 AD at the Council of Nicaea. And this line is the most powerful. The popes are now controlled by the elite class that are destroying our planet. Okay? They're destroying our planet. The monarchs, the ones that said they have the right to rule because they are chosen by God, the popes of the Roman Empire are the ones that choose them, and they started with the Merovingian dynasty. Then they gave power to the Carolingian dynasty. The popes of the Holy Roman Empire since 481 AD have selected kings and queens to rule our planet. From Clovis I to Claudio, which created the Merovingian dynasty. Then we have the Carolingian dynasty of Pippin the Short. Then we have King Charlemagne, whom all of the monarchies trace their lineage to. Charlemagne is the foundation of the British Empire. Okay? And the coronation that gave Charlemagne his power was done on December 25th, okay, 800 AD. And this was done by Pope Leo III. And this is the Germanic line of the elite. Very important to understand, okay? The root of the British and the root of the German and the Anglo-Saxons follow this line. The Holy Roman Empire, through the Pope, the father of the Catholic Church, is the representative of their God. Okay? He's representative of their God on the earth. They choose the rulers of our earth. This bloodline can be traced. You start with Charlemagne, then you jump to the House of Whitman. Okay, now we're going to get into it. Let's trace these rulers, these demons. And I'm not going to even go further back where I can trace it back to the Amalekites and the Hyksos. That's for another broadcast. But let's take this one. Okay, now we go from Charlemagne, then we go to the House of Whitman, W-E-T-T-I-N. Do your research, okay? The House of Whitman, then we go to the House of Hohenzollern. Then you go to the House of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha. Then you go to Queen Victoria of the House of Tudor. Then we have Queen Victoria marrying Prince Albert of the House of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha. Okay, and when she married this prince, this created the United Kingdom of Great Britain. Okay, this is that from Queen Victoria. So, Queen Elizabeth II represents all of the monarchies on the earth. Okay, monarchy, mon means one, and archy means rule. So it was the plan to put this into mono, one rule, one ruler. Okay? Monarchies represents one power on this earth, one empire, which is the United Kingdom. Very important to understand that information, okay? United Kingdom. In addition, the Holy Roman Empire is another part of his power. After 1606, under the Holy Roman Empire, Francis II of the House of Habsburgs, Lorraine, it was consolidated into the Austrian-Hungarian monarchy. The Austrian-Hungarian monarchy, which is the House of Habsburg. This is the money and the power behind the British Empire. The money and the power behind the British Empire was the House of Medici, okay? House of Medici, M-E-D-I-C-I, very important. The Medici started the banking system we see today. Now let me repeat that. The money behind the Holy Roman Empire was the House of Medici. And they created the first central bank. They are the founding fathers of our present day banking system. The root of all evil is money. The House of Medici became the House of the Habsburgs Lorraine. The House of Habsburgs Lorraine and the German Austrian family known as the House of Rothschilds. Okay? Direct connection. Medici, Habsburgs, Lorraine, Rothschilds. Alright? The Rothschilds are now one of the one of the controlling families, but they, I believe, are the most powerful and the most obvious on the planet, traced all the way back to the Holy Roman Empire. Okay? The Holy Roman Empire is represented by a head on two bodies. Go look at their crest, their symbol, and you'll see that you have one animal with two heads. That's a dragon. It's a dragon in the two heads. Okay? And what are the two heads? You have the spiritual head is the Pope, the natural head. The natural head is the carnal head. This is the Merovingians, the Carolingians. This is the Carolingian bloodline. Okay, these are two heads now. The two heads become one. They became one after the Holy Roman Empire Francis II of the House of Habsburgs Lorraine decided to end in 1806. But it did not end. It merged into one power under the British Empire. And this happened after World War I in 1917. Therefore, because they still control the money in all of the banks, they are the real power behind the British monarchy. So since they went inside the British monarchy is kind of like just the front for who the true power is, which is the money, which is the House of Habsburgs. Okay? So since the Catholic Church became the arm of the House of Habsburgs, and the Habsburgs is the true power behind the British Empire, we have to ask, who is really controlling our planet? Why? Because the Catholic Church came out of Christianity, and Christianity is represented by Jesus Christ. But there's a problem. The name Jesus was created by the Greeks. Jesus derives from the name Yahushua or Joshua, but the name Yahushua is supposed to be Yahushua. Okay? Joshua is supposed to be Yahushua. Yahushua. Okay? But Yahushua was not the man in 31 or 33 AD. Yahushua was of the seed of Jacob, and he lived 191 years earlier in the year 160 BC. This is why the House of Habsburgs have so much power, because they are giving you your power. And how are they giving you your power? Because you are giving your power to them. But that doesn't make sense, does it? Well, if they control Jesus Christ, if they know that that's not Yahshua, then you're giving your power to a false god. And when you start to do research, you realize that the Jesus Christ that you have been given is combined with the god of fortune, which is Tyche, T-Y-C-H-E, Hermes, and money, Juno, money, Mon, who is represented by the Catholic Church. And this is the Catholic Church version of Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is shocking, but if you don't wake up to this, you will go straight to prison behind the FEMA camp controlled by Serco, which is the serpent, praying to Jesus Christ, thinking that you are praying to Yahshua, to Ayah, but you're praying to a false god. This is what has deceived the world, unfortunately. This is why I mentioned the dying god, because their deception is falling apart. Their god is dying. This is why you are seeing the attacks on Christianity. They are destroying what they created. However, they created a lie around truth. This is how it survived, okay? That truth that they created a lie around is Ayah. And the true Hebrews of history, the ones that have the spirit of Ayah, the message of his word, are the ones that will help this world. As the facade falls, the foundation is revealed. And this is the apocalypse, the unveiling, the uncovering. Okay? Now, let me read to you what apocalypse means. And it reads, an apocalypse, in ancient Greek, an uncovering, translated literally from Greek, is a disclosure of knowledge hidden from humanity in an era dominated by falsehood and misconception. Gee, are we living in that era now? Revelations, apocalypse, is this what it means? Lifting of the veil or revelations, although this sense did not enter English until the 14th century. In religious contents, it is usually a disclosure of something hidden. In the revelations of John, Apocalypse, the last book of the New Testament, the revelation which John receives is that of the ultimate victory of good over evil and the end of the present age. And that is a primary meaning of the term, one that dates to 1175. Today, it is commonly used in reference to any prophecy, revelations, so-called end-time scenario, or to the end of the world. See, now, revelation is a good thing. I mean, we're finding out what's been hidden. But they got us running around thinking, oh my goodness, it's the end of the world. It's the end of their world, not your world. But they're making it the end of your world because they want you to think that you're dying. But they're dying. Because they worship the dying God. And as the facade falls, they fall. And if you are holding on to that God that they have told you to hold on to, you too will fall with them. But if you hold on to Ayah and see how naked they are, we will run up in that castle of Britain and tear that beast apart. Let me continue. Therefore, since the apocalypse exposes the ruling elite, They will have to hide or they will be destroyed. This is why I mentioned count the number of the beast earlier. Because the occult rule in cycles. The 25,920 year cycle represents the amount of time that is divided between the hidden demonic powers. 720 years is one third of a 2,160 year cycle, and 2,160 years is one twelfth of 25,920 years. For example, in the year 2001, if you count back 2,160 years, you will find who Yahushua, the teacher that was killed by Jonathan Maccabeus, okay? And he came after Alchemius in 159 AD. This is history, okay? Now, this is the most important part of this broadcast. So please pay attention, okay? Now, this is very important. Take a sip of water, because this requires a lot of concentration. Now, this is going to prove something and teach something at the same time. And hopefully those of you that can understand this will benefit from it and get back your power. Now listen up. How do you know that the Jesus of 33 AD is not the same as Yahushua of 160 BC? Because Jesus of Nazareth is not Jesus the Nazarite. What do I mean? Nazareth is a place, a city, and Nazarite is a type of person. Now, I'm going to read to you the etymology of the word Nazareth, okay? And this is what it says. Nazareth is not mentioned in pre-Christian texts, meaning you don't find it in the Old Testament, okay? You only find it in the New Testament. Keep alert, because that means something has been changed, right? So, Nazareth is not mentioned in pre-Christian texts and appears in many different Greek forms of the New Testament. Okay? There is no consensus regarding the origin of the name. One conjunction holds that Nazareth is derived from one of the Hebrew words for branch. Now, this is where they told on themselves. Okay? And if you understand how to research, and if you have the spirit of Ayah, then you will find this. And you do. You do have the spirit of Ayah, and you are going to find this, and you are going to understand it, because Ayah created you to be perfect. He put this here so you could know it, because as the so-called end times is happening, it is not the end times. It's the unveiling. As things become unveiled, you will get your power. Now, branch, okay? They say that Nazareth derives from the Hebrew word branch. And in Hebrew, it's pronounced Nasar, like Nazareth, Nasir. And alludes to prophetic message in the book of Isaiah 11:1. Now, this is really interesting, y'all. Please pay attention. All right, now, keep in your mind that Nazareth is not speaking about a city, but a branch. Okay? Let me read something. I'm going to read not just something. Let me read scriptures. This is Isaiah 11:1. And it reads, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yahuwah shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Ayah." All praise. and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of Allah, all praise, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now I'm going to make a pause right here. I want people to please, 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 please put this in your mind. If Jesus Christ was the one that was spoken of here, then in the name of Jesus, if you say, "Queen, get out of my face," that queen will run out your face. Now, how many Christians are in the United States calling on the name Jesus, but nothing is changing? Now, the word has to do what the word says. If the word does not do what the word says, something is wrong. Somebody changed something. But if you don't realize that, you are going to continue to get what you get because your ignorance will not allow you to see the truth. You have been lied to. Now listen up. In this message, the word branch is Hebrew H5342. Now, I use a strong concordance. I advise you to do the same. Now, when you look up the Hebrews 8:5-3-4-2, it's pronounced Natsir. Okay? Now, listen very carefully. From Hebrews 8:5-3-4-2 comes from a deeper meaning found in Hebrews 8:5-3-4-1. That means it's referencing something else. It's saying that this is a meaning, but here's something deeper. Okay? And it continues. It says, in the sense of greenness as a striking color, a shoot, figuratively, a descendant branch. So the word branch in Isaiah 11 means a descendant. Well, that's Jesse, right? All right, cool. Now we understand that branch actually does mean a descendant. Now, let's read the deeper meaning, the H5341, that many people just seem to overlook. Because, you know, if you're doing research in strong concordance, why don't you take everything in there, not just stop? Now, it reads Hebrews 8:5-3-4-1 to find, Hebrews, which is H5341, pronounced Natsar. So now we still got the names. It's Natsar, Natsir, Natsar. So Nazareth, remember, Natsir. This is all from the word Nazareth, Natsir. It says a prime root to guard in a good sense. Listen, hidden thing to keep preserved. Subtle to watch, man. Okay? This is the deeper meaning of this word. Now, it doesn't just mean branch, it means hidden thing, preserved, interesting. So this word branch has two meanings. It is something that is preserved and guarded, and is something that is a descendant. It's something that's preserved and guarded, and it is a descendant. Okay? This is the meaning of branch. Now, so who was the branch a descendant of, right? Now, let's read Isaiah 11:1 again. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The branch is a guard, descendant of Jesse, right? Because, yeah, hey, this is what they've told us in the New Testament. They said that, you know, Jesus Christ is the is related to Jesse, and Jesse is the father of King David. Okay? This is what we've been told in Sunday school. So, this is what Isaiah 11 means, right? Wrong. Wrong. It means much more than that. This word Jesse is Hebrew 3:4-8, pronounced Yassi. Y-I-S-H-A-Y. See, they even put a J in front of Jesse. J-E-S-S-E is not Y-I-S-H-A-Y. Yashi. She. From the same in Hebrews 3:4-6. So now you have another reference here. And it says, the meaning says, from the same as Hebrew 3:4-6, extent, Yashi, David's father. Jesse. Now, if you stop there, you will miss the meaning because you have to go to the other Hebrew word that is mentioned in the definition, which is Hebrew 3:4-6. Now, I can't be any clearer than I am right now. So why this broadcast is taking so long is because I'm trying to be clear. And it is your fault, nobody else's, that you are in the state you're in, because you are depending on your preachers and your popes and your imams to tell you what you should be doing yourself. If you can read, you need to get the books, crack them open and read, get a dictionary, use the internet, and get this information while you can. Don't be angry at me because I insulted your Jesus. Don't be angry at me because I insulted your Yahweh. Don't be angry at me because I insulted your Allah. It is up to you to find out why I am insulting your God. And then you come to me and tell me I am wrong. Challenge me on this information if you can. But if you cannot challenge me on this information, then get your ass up and do the research yourself or burn in that fire. I don't believe in the fire, but y'all know what I'm talking about. You might as well burn. Because what's going to happen is when they flip the switch and build this prison apparatus around your ass, that's all she wrote. Then it's too late. It's too late. Get a strong concordance. Open it up. It's right there. So, Hebrews 3:4-6, pronounced Yashi, perhaps from an unused root meaning to stand out or exist, entity, used adverbially or as a coupla for the substantive verb, H1961. Now you're going to have to do the research yourself. All you got to do is get Isaiah 11:1 and you'll follow me and you'll figure it out. So basically what this is saying is that the word Jesse is representing another word. Gee, I didn't know that. Okay, but you got to read it. Now, what does this word substantive verb mean? And it reads, a noun or pronoun used to pronounce to the place of a noun. See, got me messing up now. A noun or pronoun used in place of a noun, or relating to, containing or being the essential element of a thing. Okay, so they are saying that this word Jesse is being used in the place of Hebrews 1:9-6:1. Now, before I read Hebrews 1:9-6:1, I want to explain that this word stem means something deeper than what you think. You know what stem means, basically, but it has a deeper meaning. It's awesome. You ever hear of stem cell research? You know, that's the stem cell research. I mean, the stem of the cell. Don't get no deeper than that. Okay? Now, what does it mean? Now, I'm going to read. Let me see. Yeah, I'm going to read this again. Read Hebrews. I'm going to read Isaiah 11:1 again. And there shall come from a rod out of the stem of Jesse. So who's the stem? Okay. Stem is Hebrews 1:5-3. Pronounced Giza. Giza. From an unused root meaning to cut down trees, the trunk or stump of a tree as fallen or planted, the stem stock. Okay? So this is saying, saying out of the root, the trunk of Jesse, a branch shall grow. So if Jesse is a substantive verb, that means it's not, it's used in place of something, then what is it in the place of? Then who is really this speaking about? Well, let us go to the reference Hebrew word that they told us to go to. They said if you want to find out what the word is referencing, it's Hebrews 1:9-6-1. And probably many of you have already got your Strong Concordance open. You're probably going to Hebrews 1:9-6-1, and you can read it with me. What does it read? Aya. But they say Haya. H-A-Y-A-H. But we know it's Aya. Because it has the same symbols. It's the name of Aya. Aya. That's the root. It's not Jesse. It's Aya. It's Aya. Think about that. It says, Aya, a prime root to exist, that is, to be or become, come to pass. Okay? Now, did you hear that? This is speaking of Aya. Now, in case those of you that did not catch that, the word Jesse was a substitute for the name of the creator of all of us, Aya, whom is the stem, the root. Okay, now I want you all to meditate on that for a moment, because this is deep. Now, what does this mean to this word Nazareth? Everything. Okay? If we are told that Isaiah 11:1 is speaking about Jesse, the father of David, and this is speaking about the 33 AD Jesus Christ, then we have been told a lie. Why is that? Because this is not speaking about Jesse, but it's speaking about the creator of us all and of us and of all things. Aya is the breath of life. You can't call, so are they calling Jesse God? Think about that now, that's a little bit blasphemous there. And then we go through this genealogy, think about it, they use this to go through the genealogy, this is the genealogy of Jesus, it was this, it was this, it was that, it was that, it was that, Jesse, there, Jesus, boom. But they got it wrong, because it means branch, and branch is the trunk, the stem. The stem is not Jesse. The stem is Aya. And what genealogy comes from Aya? The Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov. And then it went to Yahushua, who was killed in 160 B.C. I don't even like using that B.C. But we got to have a time frame. Now, this is real. You got to do your research, though. Okay? Now, let me see. Where was I? Let me read Isaiah the way it's supposed to be read. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Aya, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Okay? That's what it means. Now, this branch that grew out of the essence of Ayah. It is something that is preserved. It is something that is guarded. And it is a descendant of the root. Now keep this in mind when you read the meaning of Nazarite. Because I'm going to read what a Nazarite is in Judges 13:7, not Nazareth. Because we are told that this is what a Nazarite is, right? Now here's Judges 13:7. It says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no drink, no wine, no strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to Ayah." Heard that? A Nazarite to Ayah. He's out of the branch. He's come. He's straight from the root of Ayah. From the womb on the day till the day of his death. That means from the time he is born till the time he dies, he will be of Ayah. These people have been preserved in history. Ayah has created these people for us. For us. They are on this planet. And I know it's Yahushua. And when you read the story of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hussein, Hassan, you realize that that was the same story that represents Ayah. But we have been told that Islam is the enemy. But we have not been told the proper story of Islam. Because we have to understand that Islam was hijacked after, like, it only lasted no more than 20 years before they went and stole it. They have Ali. They have something called Ali's Wells. If you look, you'll see that Ali was building wells because he said, "Okay, since you guys killed my wife," because they did, they killed Fatima, "and you killed Muhammad, I still have his word. Why don't you take the book that I have written that will tell you how to properly worship the Father, Ayah?" And what did they do? They rejected his book. So for 20 years, he was building wells. He just basically left, right? And then the Abu Bakr and Umar, they created a new book. They started to create their own type of religion. And everything started falling apart. They couldn't maintain the dynasty. So then they brought Ali back after 20 years. And then he started to restructure and reorganize and bring in the word. And then what happens? The dynasty, Uthman dynasty, the dynasty killed his whole family. Killed his whole family. And then the line of Abu Bakr and Uthman basically took over the message of Muhammad and Ali. And this is what Islam is today. And nobody knows. Nobody knows. They did this with every single religion. So before I lose my place and I run out of time, let me read that again. Judges 13:7, "Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no drink, no wine, no strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to Ayah from the womb to the day of his death." Hebrews 5:1-9. What does Nazarite mean? It means separate, that is, consecrate, an unsprung vine. Translated Nazarite, it is by false alteration with Nazareth, separate. So here they're telling you that Nazarite and Nazarene are not the same thing. It's an alteration, meaning like it sounds like it, but it's not it. Okay? They're saying that the Nazarite sounds like Nazareth, but it's not the same. Hebrews 1:4:4, a prime root, to hold a loaf that is abstained from impurity, specifically to set apart. Okay? Now, what I like to do is I like to take all these words and then I like to go to the Hebrew character list. Then I say, okay, let me take the Hebrew characters that they use and then I'll break them into the Paleo Hebrew and just lay out the words, what they mean, and see if I can come up with what they are telling me this means. Because you have to do a lot of checks because the demon was busy. The demons were busy. They were taking those scriptures and manipulating stuff. That's why they turned Jesse into God. And I have to say God because he is not Ayah. The stem, the root, Ayah. Okay, now, what does it mean in Paleo Hebrew when you break down the Hebrew characters? Well, here's the words that come out. Continue, hair, seed, food, cut, nourish, first, top, beginning. Okay? Continue, hair, seed, food, cut, nourish, first, top, beginning. So let's put it together. Continue, hair, seed. This means that the person that speaks from the spirit of Ayah is of the seed, the hair of the original people of Ayah. Food, cut, nourish. Okay, now this is speaking of the person protected. He will be fed. He will be nourished from the root. Okay, he or she will be cut from the branch, basically a chip off the old block. These words are basically telling it the same thing what it means. Continue, hair, seed, food, cut, nourish. What is to nourish? It's to preserve. It's to feed. What is continue, hair, seed? That means that you basically from the root. It's the seed. It's the hair, right? Now, first, top, beginning. He will be the root, the first, from the top of the beginning. This is speaking about the original people that have the breath of Ayah that will spread the message, okay? So when we match the word Nazirite with the Hebrew characters, we can come up with the same meaning if we understand the story. He will be a Nazirite. So you see, Jesus of Nazareth is not Jesus the Nazirite, because they made an error when they translated the New Testament. They were speaking about a city, not a type of a person. And that is a very damaging error, because they confused everybody. And when they were confused, they made this error into a bigger error. Then they referenced Isaiah 11 to even make a bigger error, which is crazy. Because they could have just said, okay, he was Jesus of Nazareth, but they didn't even make the connection that the Nazirite and the Nazareth, actually within the Nazareth, is from the branch. I mean, it's just crazy. Now, Isaiah 11:1, right? The message they used to edify Jesus was found in Isaiah 11:1. And this was speaking about what makes a person a Nazirite. They did not understand, or they tried to hide it. I think it's more like they tried to hide it, because you can't make that kind of an error, you know. When they did this, it was not speaking about Jesse, the father of David, okay? When they referenced Isaiah 11, it was speaking about Ayah. Now, you have to think very long and hard about this and do your research. We got to wake up, okay? So now, here's the trillion-dollar question. If Jesus was not a Nazirite, right? If he was not a Nazirite, he was a person from the city of Nazareth, then who was? Well, You should know the answer by now. The answer is the teacher of righteousness of 160 BC. The one that was murdered. Okay. The branch that was hidden. But his message was preserved. And how was it preserved? Well, because the church fathers used his words and his message to create Judaism, Christianity, and influence Islam. Okay? Now, I'm going to take a quick break, get some water, and then come back with the final parts of this broadcast. And I'm going to play something for you to get into it. And I hope that a lot of people got something from that. But we're heading back on to the elite because it has a lot to do with them because they're the ones that did this. They're the ones that took our spirituality, turned it into a religion, and confused everybody. Okay? Now I'm going to play an audio file, and everybody is going to know who this is as soon as I play it. And I've grown to really like this man, and I have had criticism of him in the past, but I'm starting to realize that... you know, a lot of us, you know, we go through our issues. So anyway, I'm going to play this audio file, and then I will be right back.
Big news out of London Crosswire is what? Right around 6 a.m.
Finally,
that's right. Prince William and Kate Middleton are going to be married. They're engaged now. They're going to be married next spring or summer in London. There is a statement out of Buckingham Palace. Queen Elizabeth said she is absolutely delighted for her grandson and his bride-to-be.
The United States was founded on July 4th, 1776, in resistance to the hegemonic, despotic, tyrannical rule of King George III and the abuse against the colonies. And most of the British Parliament was against going to war with their fellow Englishmen because the king was unpopular there as well. It was known that he was a German king, his father being brought over to rule England. These people could barely speak English. Nothing against Germans, but you don't see me going over to Germany to rule them. The very essence of July 4th and 1776 is resistance to the disgusting House of Windsor. They didn't get that name until around World War I, because before that they were known as the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas. Notice that we hear their names. Prince William. You never hear his last name, do you? The slave public, many of them in England, who support these people, don't even know their last names because they don't want you knowing their last names. Three times in the last 3 years, the Parliament in Canada hasn't done what the Queen of England wants, so she suspended them, shut down the Parliament. Happened in the late 70s in Australia. This is a tyrannical group pushing eugenics, population reduction, all the carbon taxes. Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, another German royal prince, is a supporter of eugenics. His cousin, who was the prince married to the Queen of the Netherlands, unadmitted Nazi, unadmitted eugenicist. The point is, these are the most filthy, degenerate people you can imagine. She owns more than half of Canada, more than half the land in England, and then she's paid by the government for her palaces and all the rest of it. It's disgusting. And to watch U.S. television fawning, Fox, CNN, CBS, all of them, oh, it's so wonderful, no one in America can wait until next week, the way they're hyping it.
1 week until the royal wedding. This is exciting stuff. I mean, it's hard to... I mean, the energy is just palpable.
Some couples get married. They're just hoping that some bank will be nice enough to give them a mortgage.
Yeah.
These folks have a number of palaces to pick from.
NBC News is launching a free royal wedding app for the iPad. Got a...
This is truly a love story that captures everybody's attention.
This goes back to Edward Bernays 100 years ago. Saying, look, to make politicians and royalty popular, we'll have Hollywood stars come to banquets and events with them. We'll have music stars. We'll have other people go there to basically make these elites be seen as celebrities themselves. You know why America was founded? Because under the imperial royal system in Europe and England, if you weren't part of the inside group who had basically the patronage of the crown, where they gave you land, houses, jobs, you couldn't even get a license to be a carpenter, a license to be a blacksmith, a license to brew beer, unless their local lords gave you the authorization. So it wasn't just that you had to pay outrageous taxes. You had to get their permission to even have a job, to have a profession. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the essence of globalism, is big mega corporations, many of which are owned and controlled by the German royal family that runs England and, of course, the Netherlands. The whole system they've set up and they promote is about this new global corporate system worldwide that, through government power, shuts down their competition and transfers the people's wealth through taxes to the offshore cartels. These people are parasites. They're disgusting. They're filthy. And if we want to reclaim the spirit of 1776, we should realize how abhorrent monarchy is in all of its forms. And that includes the UN and the new royalty under the unelected EU bureaucratic system, where over 80% of England's laws, even though they're not part of the EU, are made by EU bureaucrats. Please, everyone, remember the spirit of 1776. I know a lot of folks in England are saying they're going to go out and protest it. First, the government said you've got the day off, slaves. You don't have to go to work on the big royal wedding coming up next week. And then the Republicans, that's a group that want to get rid of the monarchy in England, said, we're going to protest in the streets. And the government said, you're not allowed to protest. Meanwhile, they criticized Syria for banning protest. So anytime you see some mind-numb zombie talking about how exciting the wedding is or how they watched it, you're watching a bunch of twitly, inbred idiots that can't even dress themselves and have valets. And until just a few decades ago, they try to keep it quiet. They have people that wipe their butts for them, groom of the stool. Do you know the history of America? Do you know it started in resistance to this very usurping German family who aren't even British? Do you know that most of the English hate the royal family? Do you know they have a secret police system that basically threatens people that talk about getting rid of the monarchy? Do you know that Princess Diana on record told her butler and others that made a videotape saying Prince Charles has threatened me, he's going to kill me in a fake auto accident? These people are absolutely anathema. And the servile folks that have been raised to worship these people and all the little old ladies that think it's cute, well, that's why we're enslaved. That's why our country's bankrupt. That's why we're going to hell in a handbasket. Because you've forgotten what it is to be an American. Or perhaps you were never even taught. But now you're going to learn what it's like to be a subject, a slave. What is royalty? Royalty is Kim Jong-il in North Korea. His father took over and then gave him power, and now he's giving power to his son. Why don't they just put gold crowns on their heads and dress up with long flowing robes? Maybe then Americans would celebrate the royal wedding of Kim Jong-il's son. Oh, but they wear little military uniforms, and we know how clownish it is. But somehow we've been tricked that wearing big gold crowns and flowing robes isn't more ridiculous and stupid. America has been great because it's not about what race you are or what family pedigree or how murderous your great-granddaddy was. It's about what you individually can do. It's about what you individually have to offer, being an inventor, a trailblazer, an explorer, someone who's brave, an artist, someone who has incredible literature in their soul. These royal crony capitalist, non-free market systems always wage war against the individual. They always wage war against the productive. And the British royal family are at the head of pushing world population reduction. They are at the head of one-child policies. They are at the head of eugenics. They taught the Nazis everything they knew about eugenics. Do you understand this is mainline history? The King of England had to advocate at the beginning of World War
II. Okay, welcome back. You know, Alex Jones has one of the most beautiful voices of freedom I have ever heard. Now, that's a strong statement. He is like the white Malcolm X. Now, you cannot deny that that is a bad man. Okay? He's the only one that's really speaking out, and he's effective. Now, you can say he's this and that, but look, I don't give a damn. He is speaking truth to power. He's speaking truth to power. And I have my criticisms of Alex Jones in the past, but you know what? I'd rather stand right beside him than most of you fools out here that aren't doing a damn thing. The man's effective. He goes on Piers Morgan, talking about the Second Amendment. He He's been working at this for a long time, exposing the Bohemian Grove. A lot of the things that he has done on his broadcast through the years has helped me to avoid a lot of things that could have killed me. Like, what if I would have took the vaccine shots with the, what is it called, those, the swine flu shots. I made sure that my kids did not get that shot because I heard this on the Alex Jones show. Not only that, I created a page to warn people. And over 20,000 people visited my page, and who knows how many people that I saved because I listened to the message from Alex Jones. Also, the Obama deception. He made this about the Obama deception a long time ago. 9/11. So you have to give credit where credit is due. Very, very powerful man, and he deserves our respect. So I stand with Alex Jones side by side. Okay? He is the white version of Malcolm X. All right, now in saying that, what was he talking about? He was talking about the British monarchy, the same thing that I'm talking about to you today. Okay? We are in agreement 100%. This is no joke. They are the Nazis. They go back to 1776. Now, we have to realize that there has been a wedge purposely put between us and our other Americans in the United States. What does that mean? What do I mean by this? Well, the African American, the Hebrews, the people of color, have been purposely divided because they knew if we were to join with our Caucasian brothers and sisters in the United States, we would bring this system down. Because we're free people. We are free people. Now, we have the racism going on, but what did I talk about in the beginning of the broadcast? The poverty programs, the Great Society. All this welfare was used to divide us. The Democrats and the Republicans. All of this was used to divide us. How many of you out there actually have some cool-ass white friends? I have a lot of them. I grew up with them. Okay? We have to stop being ignorant and stop letting the system divide us. Because if we do not stand together, we fall apart. If we not stand together, we fall apart. And if we fall apart, they take over. There is just a few of them in all of us. They are taking away our money and our wealth. They are taking away our pride. They have taken away our spirituality. Now, I have a personal hatred, a righteous hatred against the monarchy. And if he is speaking out against the monarchy, he is my friend. Okay? Now, we have to look at what these demonic beings have done in history. They have killed our people for hundreds of years, thousands if you even go back further. But let's look at this present monarchy from Charlemagne till now. They have killed our people. And you know what's funny though? When Adolf Hitler, backed by these same monarchies, the same elite, when he wanted to prove the world that he had this Aryan race, he did this Olympics, and then out of nowhere came Jesse Owens and blew all them away. It was an embarrassment, which proves something. No matter how much genetics they put in their system and how much healthy food they eat and all this craziness, it don't matter. It doesn't match anything than what Allah has created us as just being natural. This is why they have to destroy us, because they cannot compete with us. We are a creation of Allah. And that's what they want to destroy. Okay? Now we have to wake up to this. Alright? So my hat goes off to you, Mr. Jones. Thank you for that message about the usurper. Now I'm going to give some more messages about the usurper. Okay? Now I'm going to read the Apocalypse. I'm going to read the Revelations. I'm going to read to you the Revelations. Okay? And I'm going to break it down to what I see, and with the information that I know. Okay? Because now we can put into proper context what it is they're talking about. Okay? Now, if we understand that it's the British monarchy and the Holy Roman Empire, I mean, we know it. Not, I wonder. No, you know. This is it. You know these demonic beings are dwelling within this system. Then now we can read Revelations and really understand what they're talking about, where their time frame is, and what's going on. And this is what I'm going to do right now. Revelations. Okay. Okay, let me make sure I got these notes right. Okay, now this is the most famous Revelations. Everybody knows it. All right? Okay. And it reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." Okay, let me start over because lost my place. Here we go. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Okay, now this is going to be very obvious. Okay, as I'm reading it, I'm seeing other stuff. I'm like, man, this is like obvious. Okay, now listen. The dragon is the Holy Roman Empire, because it holds the money and the power to ordain kings and queens. The seven heads and ten crowns are the ruling elite that are selected by the Pope and given loans and powers to rule the earth. This should be obvious. The deadly wound was the war between the Catholics and the Protestants. They fought for 30 years, from 1618 to 1648, and then you actually have another war that's even longer than that, an 80-year war, from 1585 to 1648. The healing of the wound, now it could be two things. It could be the end of the 30 or 80-year war, or it could be the coming one world system that is consolidating all powers under the central banks and the British monarchy. Okay? Now, I say that because the power that they had before the Protestant movement was more power than they have now. Even though they have a lot of power now, they had power. They can just go to your house and say, "I want that woman right there. Done. You're dead. Done." I mean, no laws, nothing can save you. They had complete power. They don't have the power that they had back then. They have more money, but they have to fake it now, okay? And this is why I think that when the deadly wound is healed, it has to be healed, meaning there's probably a new system coming in. So this is why I say this. All right, now let me keep going. "And they worship the dragon, which gave..." Listen now. "And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yah, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwelled in heaven. Okay, now, since 42 months is 3 years and 5 months, then this has to be speaking about a time in the future. Okay? This has to be after the one world system is set up, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against Yah. Okay? This is when the demonics take full control of this planet, and they feel that they can, you know, they can't be taken down. They get arrogant, right? Now, if they have their system set up, and they got the one world system back in, and the beast is healed, they're like, nobody can take us down, right? So this has to be a time in the future. Then it goes, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay? Now, this could be speaking about the present day. Okay? Because he has this type of power right now. No place on earth is out of reach of this system. Venezuela, Syria, and soon Iran will all be under the thumb of the one world system. All of Europe and America is being consolidated as I speak. Okay? So, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, all tongues, and nations, and all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him. Okay? It's happening. This is happening. Then it says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads. And if any man, listen to this now, and if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Those that are Hebrews of the seed of Jacob know that this is talking about the prophecy about us taking him into captivity. Okay? We know what this is talking about. So therefore, this is speaking about the Hebrews. This is to us. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. This is telling us, don't worry. Let all this stuff happen. But he is going to get his. Okay? Oh, he's not going to win. He that killeth with a sword must be killed by a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. It's telling us, don't sweat it, okay? Because no matter what this demonic being does, we have victory. But now let's break down what this means, okay, further. Now, like I said, I want to ask you a question, okay? What was the event that changed the world in 1884? Okay, who went into captivity again in 1884? Now, keep this in mind. Brazil was the last country to free the slaves in 1888. But in 1884, Cecil Rhodes set off the scramble for Africa. How many heads divided the land? Now you have to count them. It was 7. 7 heads divided the land of Africa. 7. Okay, now let's count them. They divided the land of Africa, and they created countries, which resulted in a genocide that lasts until this day. That this one move in 1884 is all the problems you see now: the Middle East and Uganda, Congo and Rwanda and South Africa, and death and destruction and death and destruction. All that is from the 7 crowns that divided Africa. Okay? Now, listen. Now, let's count. House of Habsburgs is the Holy Roman Empire. 1. House of Aviz is Portugal. 2. House of Savoy is Italy. 3, House of Hohenzollern is Germany. That's 4. House of Bourbon is France. That's 5. House of Hanover is Great Britain. That's 6. And House of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha is 7. That's Belgium. So that's 7 heads right there. 7 of these beasts, the same ones that have been causing hell for us and causing hell for the whole world. There you go, House of Saxe, Coburg, Gotha. The ones that are sitting up there in the British monarchy right now. This prophecy was telling you back then that they divided the land. Okay? Now, it says, and I behold another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwelt therein to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Remember I told you about, talked about earlier about Prometheus and the fire and faking people like their gods? This is it. This is it. Okay? This is why you know, I don't think that the deadly wound was healed in the year in the 30 and 80 years wars of 1568 till 1648. Okay, this was not the healing of the wound. It says here, and behold, another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Okay, the lamb is a reference to Christianity. And how do I know this? Well, this is the 2 heads of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, look at the flag. Go pull up the Holy Roman Empire and look at the flag. You'll see a dragon with 2 heads. It's a bird, 2 heads. One look at it one way, one look at the other. One look at the other way. This is the Holy Roman Empire. Now, keep in mind, the British monarchy is supposed to be a Protestant nation, okay? And you have the Protestants on one head and the Catholics on the other, right? They're supposed to be under the Church of England. And the Holy Roman Empire is supposed to be the to represent. Now, this is supposed to represent Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain. All right? So, if this is supposed to represent Jesus Christ, the Lamb, then, you know, this would fit the prophecy. Right? But the 2 horns, the 2 heads, are on the body of the dragon. Okay? So, this is why they said he spake like a dragon. Came out like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Come on, put it together. All right? Now, we have another wild card in there also now, which we have to look at, which is the Iman of Islam. Okay? This could be another beast coming in. But I know right now that they're talking about the Holy Roman Empire here and the British monarchy. Okay? Then it says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and calls this the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now the wound is healing. So something happened now. Okay? Something happened. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Right? Now this is talking about an event that is supposed to destroy the present world system. This is most likely talking about the unveiling, okay? Now, remember, once you unveil something, they have no power. So now they have to do something about it, right? So something is going to destroy the system of Christianity. But the system will not die. It will be kept alive for a period of time. So this is speaking about a future event after the setup of the one world system, okay? It says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth for the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and causes that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Okay? You understand? They're desperate now. they're desperate. Their God died. Now they have to set up a system, but they have to do it without Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, because their God has died. You understand? And so now it needs a new system. Now this is why you have the police state being set up and the drones in the sky, and they're like, Skynet is coming. They're trying to scare us to death. It's the Wizard of Oz. Okay? It's the wizard behind the curtain. He's trying to push these levers to fool you, to make you think that they have all this power, but they have no power. The only way they can get power is if they can kill 90% of us. That's their only way out, to shrink our numbers. Okay? Now, to me, this all sounds, with this beast system setting up, it sounds like a false flag attack. Another one. The system knows that it cannot control people by force alone. Okay? So there's going to be a need to create another God. Now keep in mind about the dying God, because you got to add the dying God into this scripture. If you don't know about the dying God, then you're missing out on something, right? But when you add the dying God into this, right? This is, you have to understand that when they did the first false flag, 9/11, that was supposed to bring in this system. But, you know, it was so obvious. People were like, wait a minute, 9/11 was the inside job. This ain't true. And now they have all this opposition. And they're wasting more and more and more time. Now they're 13 years into another 720-year cycle. So they're going to have to come up with another false god quick. Okay? They're going to have to come up with something quick, because as time goes on, they're not going to be able to do it. Then people are going to take over. They're going to be exposing, like I am, the British monarchy. And if this message starts to get out and people start to know that the British monarchy is behind this, and then they understand about the Holy Roman Empire, like I said before, you cannot steal nothing when somebody is looking right at you. And it only takes a match to light a fire. So when this information gets out there and gets ignited and people become awake, it is over for them. The deadly wound has to come in order to bring in the one world system. So they're going to do a self-inflicted wound. Now, it might be a staged alien invasion or something that they try to bring in, but hey, stay alert. And it reads, and he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay, now this part is a little confusing, because this is already happening, but it is not universal yet, okay? When they collapse the world economies, which is happening today, they will control everything on this planet. So this could be speaking about the time after the deadly wound is healed and the one world system is here. Once they have forced vaccines and Codex Alimentarius as law, when we see Sodeco and Serco setting up the detention centers and the FEMA camps and the prisons, and the world currencies only being traded in electronic digits, kind of like the Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And I don't, I'm not really suspicious about Bitcoin, but this will be the electronic currency, that type, if it's Bitcoin, because you don't deal with money anyway. And then if they want to cut you off, they can cut you off. You see what I'm saying? But I like Bitcoin because Bitcoin allows you to be anonymous. You don't have to wear a mark. It's on the computer. You see? So we need to create systems like that to combat the other system. Okay? Now, so when you see all this stuff happening, then you know we're there. Okay, I mean, we're basically there, and it's heading towards there right now. This is right around the corner, if you really think about it. Okay, is right around the corner if you really think about it. Now, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. This is the verse that everyone has their own thoughts on. But you have to think about this word wisdom. This means there has to be a knowing about this. If we know that the Holy Roman Empire and the British monarchy is the beast, then we identify the beast. And anyone that comes out of that system represents the beast. So the number of a man is speaking about man's time. The number 666 can be broken down to 18, and 18 can be broken down to the number 9. If 9 is the number of the beast, then we have to look where the beast uses this number. Okay? Now, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 603 stone skits. So the number of the beast is also the number of a man. Rosicrucianism, Hermeticism, Pythagoras. Think about it now. The beast controls his pawns with occult magic and hidden numbers. The system, the main system of this beast is Pythagoras, Hermeticism, and Rosicrucianism. They follow the demonic 72 system of Shem, Ham, Farash, which is YHWH. YHWH is the number of the name in a cycle, okay? Each letter holds 18 names. 666. Y holds 18 names. H holds 18 names. W holds 18 names. And H, the last H, holds 18 names. When you add all the names up, you get 72 names of God. Whom is Baal or Yahweh? Yahweh is the beast, the shocking mystery to those that lack wisdom. The number 9 is also the number of the great cycle, which is 25,920 years. The divided cycle of 2,160 years and the divided cycle of 720 years. Okay? Each can be broken down to 9, which is the number of the beast. Alright? Therefore, you count the number of the beast by observing his movements in time. For example, 2001 was the ending of a 720 year cycle, which is 1/3 of 2,160 years. This is very important for you, for your knowing, the unveiling in Revelations 13:15. Okay? You have to understand what this means. Now, you got to download this, read it again, get the beast, Counting of the Beast document off the website and read it and write me an email, ask me a question. I'm open. Alright? Do it while you can. Now, once you know how to count the number of the beast, you will be able to see the dying of a god, which is the false god of the Holy Roman Empire. The year 1280 AD was the rebirth. The year 560 was the Julian Empire and the birth of Muhammad and Islam, the year in Islam. Okay, and then you have the year 160 BC. This was the death of Yahushua and the creation of the religion, the religious arm of Judaism. Okay, so this also was the time the Edomites converted into Judaism, like around 160 BC. Now, and if you keep counting back by 720 years, you end up at year zero. This is what's on what is it called? What it is, what's called? I can't even think about it. The Talmud. The Talmud speak about year zero, which is 3760 BC. Okay? 3760 BC is supposed to be year zero. 3761 BC is supposed to be year one. Now, this was 5,773 years ago today. Very important. The so-called first day of time. Okay? 5,773 years ago. Alright? Now, I'm going to have to do another part to this broadcast because I was not able to get into the details about Adolf Hitler, Cecil Rhodes, and their tight connections with the British monarchy. The monarchy did not die. They went under the radar. They own all of the major businesses. They control the policies of the planet. They created the United Nations, the IMF, and the World Bank. They control the European Union and the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central banks. This is fact, this is fact, this is fact. Look it up while you can, while they still allow us to use the internet. Well, they can't really take it down because people are fighting against them. Okay? So just take the information while you can. The Habsburg dynasty, which is an Anglo-Saxon dynasty, okay, has destroyed all non-Germanic people. They are an extremely racist and supremacist demonic group. They go back over 1,000 years. The British monarchy is the true power of the earth and is the seat of the beast. They supported Hitler. Prince Philip is a Nazi. He comes from the House of Saxe-Coburg and Gotha. The House of Saxe-Coburg and Gotha is responsible for killing over 20 million African people in the Congo, just so they can profit from the rubber trade. Okay, and this was under Leopold. Okay, the House of Medici, the Habsburgs are responsible for the 1452 slave trade, and the House of Aviv is responsible for the 1492 slave trade. These are the same seven that took over Africa in 1884. The same group, okay? Is responsible for the 1492 slave trade and the 1452 slave trade of the Habsburgs, which is the Holy Roman Empire, and then you have Italy and Portugal. Yeah, Portugal, okay? Now, this slave trade that killed and destroyed the lives of hundreds of millions of people. Okay? I mean, they caused so much hell that we still feel this today. All of the monarchies have blood on their hands. The House of Stuart, the House of Tudor, and the House of Oldenburg here in Denmark, they got blood on their hands. All of them. And they continue their genocide today by contributing with the Nazis, okay? The House of Hohenzollern, the House of Hesse and Kessel, the House of Savoy, the House of Weldick and Paramount, and then here we go again, the House of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha. And now we see that the Habsburgs, in the name of the Rothschilds, are destroying the economies of the world and placing everybody into bondage. I mean, what's going on here? Okay? Now, I'm going to read to you the victory. Revelations 18:7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she hath saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burnt with fire. For strong is Iah, for who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornications and lived deliciously with her, Habsburgs, Saxo, Gotha, Daggone, Italian, Portugal, all y'all that live deliciously with her shall bewail her and laminate for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. I ask that you make Revelations 18:7 come to pass. I ask that you destroy these demons of Babylon, bring down the power of this beast, make them pay for what they have done to your planet and your children. Break the power of these disgusting, pathetic, sociopathic, psychopathic corporations of Monsanto's, Serco, General Electric, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and others. Bankrupt the central banks and make them pay back the resources they stole. Judge them for the hundreds of millions of lives that they murdered, O Father. I thank you for this message. I ask that you give strength to those that believe in your name and power to those that have your spirit. Thank you for unveiling the fools behind the curtain. Now I ask that you give us the power to destroy them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. My Father, my mother, my brother, my sister, and my friend. All praise Ayah, all praise Ayah, all praise Ayah. Okay, now to end this broadcast, I created a poem, and I am going to read the poem, okay? Now, I started off with a poem for the beautiful black woman, the true queen of this earth. But now I want to read a poem for the false queen of the earth. Okay? Now this poem is entitled Babylon Ho, A Message to Queen Elizabeth and the United Kingdom. Merovingian into Babylon, bitch pimp, is my intro to this hoe. Ho of Mono, Mono, oh no, this hoe. Who this hoe, you ask? Are you confused or just amused? Merovingian to Babylonian, bitch pimp, who is this hoe? This is the hoe of Mono and Soul O-Mon from Babylon. Babylon to Pythagoras, to the Holy One, Soul O-Mon. Merovingian to Babylon, bitch pimp, who is this hoe? To be more precise, bitch's queen. Oh, you don't know? Well, let me explain. Year 1452 starts to hit. 1492 fills the list. 1611 perfects the script. 1619 from king to queen bitch. Over 560 years and counting, World Bank, check, IMF, check, Libya, check, Congo, check. Over 560 years and counting, Akdam, check, Hebrews, check, starvation, check, abortions, check. As 1611 perfects the script, all land, all people go to this bitch. Ho of Mono, Mono, oh no, this ho. Are you still confused or just amused? Merovingian to Babylonian, bitch pimp. Queen Elizabeth, bis, bis, this bitch. Babylonian pimp, bitch, is 560 years and counting. Dedicated to Queen of England and her United Kingdom. And one more thing. I would like to apologize to the female dogs for calling Queen Elizabeth a bitch.